Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome back to this week's episode. I have a guest with us today, and we are going to be talking about asthma, allergies, and how that relates to weight. So I have Dr. Reller with us today. She is the owner of Clearwater Family Medicine in Clearwater, Florida. And before she went into medicine, she was actually an electrical engineer. So crazy smart doctor with us today. After completing medical school and family medicine residency at the University of Maryland, she moved back to Florida and joined her father in practice to learn about allergy and asthma. She started her own family medicine practice in addition to seeing allergy patients. And she's also always had a passion for wellness, nutrition, and fitness, and has now found the perfect combination in the field of obesity medicine. As an obesity medicine specialist, she helps patients live their healthiest and best lives so they can prevent chronic disease, move better, and breathe better. She does this by encouraging patients to make sustainable life changes so they can live a healthy, confident, and energetic life. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Reller.
Thank you so much for having me. That's definitely me in a nutshell, and maybe not so smart because I did so much school, but that's okay.
That's okay. So it makes you smart. Maybe not the person we'll take like financial advice from, yes, right? Like how to get a bunch of debt, right? But certainly, you know, all the science. So how did you get involved in the field of obesity medicine? Tell us a little bit about how that became interesting to you, why you like helping people lose weight.
So I actually didn't find it until about the pandemic, to be honest. So during residency, I actually did my senior project on like exercise and if physicians were practicing what we preach, like we recommend certain amounts of minutes of exercise a week, 150 minutes, and then weight training. But were we actually practicing that ourselves? So that I was always interested in exercise and everything like that. And apparently we had it in like the upcomings of an obesity program or clinic while I was a resident, but I didn't know about it. So I didn't really find it till a few years ago. And since then, it's been like reading and listening to podcasts and studying and passing the boards. And it's just been super fun since then. And I wish I had found it earlier because I feel like I've been doing this all my life. I guess I've struggled with my weight a little bit too. So I've kind of been in this field, if you will, all my life, but I didn't know it was like called anything.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah, it's interesting how many of the physicians I've interviewed actually personally had struggled with weight, and that was part of why they ended up finding this field and found it so interesting.
Yeah, it helps to, you know, empathize and be there. I mean, I may not have like all the symptoms or factors, but it definitely helps to relate.
And I think that maybe if you personally have struggled with weight, it also, when you find some of the science and the explanations, it's more powerful. Obviously, we know you're super smart. You did an engineering degree and a medical degree. Clearly, you know science and you are able to put in hard work. And so I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves and blame ourselves so much for weight. And when we start learning the science behind why people struggle with weight, it turns out it's not your fault, right? There's a lot of biology that's at play, and people have very different reactions to food and very different experiences with their weight that have nothing to do with discipline or intelligence or self-control.
Yes, absolutely. It's so true, even down to like, you know, the cellular level. So it's exciting to learn all the science about it too.
But you do a bunch of different things, like me, family medicine, but then you have this focus on allergy and asthma as well. Tell us more about your involvement in those fields and how you got interested and a little more about that.
So my father is an allergist, and I really didn't ever even grow up wanting to be a doctor necessarily, obviously with the engineering thing. So after I was completing residency, I was going to do a sports medicine fellowship. And he's like, you know what? No, move home. I'll teach you everything I know and you can take over the practice and do allergy and asthma. So that's kind of how I got involved in it. And I did like a, I like to call it a pseudo fellowship because it wasn't, I'm not board certified in it, but I definitely learned everything that he knows. And I continually go to some conferences for allergy and asthma every year as well. So that's how I got involved. And I see some allergy and asthma patients, probably now more family medicine and obesity medicine patients.
So what is the relationship between asthma? We'll start with asthma because asthma allergies certainly overlap a lot. But what's the relationship between asthma and weight, and how can you help your patients with that?
Yeah, so it can be complex, but it can also be pretty simple. So with asthma, it's easier to say, how does asthma affect your weight? So with asthma, some people have basically such symptom burden that they cannot breathe well all the time. And this leads them to not be as active as they would have, maybe if they didn't have asthma. So they're not moving as much. They, maybe don't want to go outside for the walk, especially if allergies are affecting them. Or right now it's extremely hot in Florida. So that effect may affect them too. And sometimes heat and humidity can exacerbate the asthma. So they're not wanting to move as much. That's one thing, right? And then the other thing is the way that we treat asthma. So asthma is an inflammatory disease, and so is obesity. And asthma, unfortunately, needs to use a lot of steroids. And steroids are great because they help asthma and it makes everybody feel better and breathe better. But then they lead to insulin resistance, weight gain, and it ends up being a vicious circle. So that's how, and as you know, obesity as a disease is an inflammatory disease. And our little fat cells secrete adipokines, which the ones that most relate to asthma are these special TNF-alpha and IL-6. And those basically generate inflammatory response and make asthma worse. And then that also contributes to different changes in the airway. So the airway is this flexible tube, right? And if it becomes more constricted, it like reduces the contractility of it. So that makes it harder to breathe. And there's actually fat deposits that can be in the airway, which make it narrower and harder to breathe. The smaller airway contributes to more hyper-responsiveness. So you're getting like more asthma exacerbations. It makes that worse. And then on top of that, you have the physical forces of weight, right? So that creates an additional restrictive lung pattern when you already have an obstructive lung pattern from asthma. So the restrictive lung pattern makes it really hard to treat asthma. And we've seen the incidence of asthma and obesity both climbing pretty much at the same, I don't know, whatever you want to say, but the amount over the last period of time. And, actually with a BMI of greater than 30, they have a 92% increase incident of asthma. So it's definitely very correlated, not necessarily causated, but they haven't been able to prove anything like that. But they're very intertwined and related. And with having so much new asthma type, they have this whole other, created a different phenotype of asthma. So the traditional way, you get it when you're young, it's an allergic response. You may outgrow it. We have this in a different type of inflammation than what's going on in this later onset asthma. It could be related to weight. It's actually more female associated and it's much harder to treat.
Is actually kind of being blown right now because I honestly feel like most of the time when I have a guest on, I'm like, it's just because it's fun to have a conversation, but I'm actually learning a ton here. So if I'm learning, I want to break this down for the audience because I think there's a lot of key points here. So first thing is chicken and egg relationship a lot of times with asthma, right? Asthma is often making weight worse because it's hard to be active. You don't feel well, but then at the same time, weight can make asthma worse. And that's something that I feel like is sometimes like a newer thought. When I was in med school and even residency, I remember asking like, why does weight affect asthma? And everyone just gave that restrictive explanation, right? Mm-hmm. Which is you have that extra weight on you. And so it's literally making it harder to expand and take a big breath. And that's adding to the asthma. And that never really made sense to me. And as I learned more about obesity and these adipose cells, these fat cells that leaked out inflammation, like you talked about, it started to become really clear to me that at least part of the reason asthma was made worse with weight was this inflammation, right? So You know, that I think is now accepted. But I think 10 years ago, most people in medicine really were blaming it all on restriction. So I'm going to share a patient story because as you were talking, it really made me think of one of my early patients. I'm going to call him Paul. And Paul came in to see me for an asthma exacerbation. He was really sick. His oxygen was low. He couldn't breathe. He was already on a bunch of different medications and inhalers, and he needed steroids. That was like the next option we had for him. And I'm looking back in his chart, and once or twice a year, he was having to take oral steroids, prednisone. And his BMI was also pretty high. I think it was like 45 or something. Mm-hmm. And so you treated his asthma, got him his steroids. And then I said, you know, Paul, one of the things that I think would help you with your weight or with your asthma is losing weight. So I actually worked with him. And I think he had like a 15% weight loss. He did really amazing. And for like 3 years in a row, he didn't need prednisone at all. He was able to be controlled just with his inhalers. He still needed medicine for his asthma, but he wasn't needing like this full extra emergency treatment every year like he needed before. So that story always stayed with me of how powerful getting rid of that inflammation is. Okay, but the other thing I want to zero in on, and I kind of want to hear a little more about, is this phenotype of asthma, this type of asthma you talked about that's later in life, because I think classically in family medicine, we're trained what you said, which is, you know, you probably had it as a child. It was probably related to allergies. And for me, I tend to think if I'm seeing someone who's in their 40s and they've never had asthma before, that it's probably not asthma. So tell me a little bit more about this like new phenotype of asthma that we're kind of diagnosing for people who are more middle-aged. It's related to weight.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, the traditional one is like a Th2 inflammation. And that's the one that's easier to treat with the steroids. And that's the one that has all these new fancy drugs that show elevated eosinophils, and they target eosinophils, they target that pathway. And then there's this other pathway, and that's the non-Th2 pathway. So with the type of patient that we see, it's the onset's usually after 12, there's more females than males. It happens because sometimes with weight, you're breathing like at a lower lung volume, and it causes those more restrictive patterns. And it also can actually lead to atelectasis at some time when you're breathing at lower lung volumes, basically collapsing of little parts of the lung, usually at the bases. If you've had an x-ray before, sometimes they'll point that out and it will just show a like darker picture at the bottom.
To be this sort of more weight-related type of asthma.
So yeah, like you were mentioning, you were surprised that you thought it was only restrictive, but they actually see that more with the, like BMI 40 to 50. So like in the higher thing. But so the other thing is that there is less airway hyperresponsiveness, but more symptoms and just really harder to treat. And it's more neutrophil predominant, whereas the other thing is on the allergic pathway, more eosinophilic predominant. So we're talking about like different cells that are
different white blood cells, right? Right. So mm-hmm. we tend to think more with like allergies. Neutrophils, sometimes we tend to think about mm-hmm. more with just general inflammation or infections even. Sometimes.
Exactly. We'll see those. So the other things on that non-Th2 type of things are from irritants, pollutants, viruses, infections. And that's also kind of where the weight part is falling, because in that cascade of the inflammatory response are those IL-6 and TNF-alpha that are actually coming from the fat cells as well. So this is crazy, a whole nother thing. But the thing is, this it's sad because these patients are really hard to treat. And unless you're prescribing weight loss, I think that, yeah, we keep throwing them all these traditional asthma treatments and even these fancy new ones with these fancy biologics, and they still don't really get that much better. Oh. And they still have exacerbations needing steroids. And
is there a weight threshold for this? So, you know, we talked about those restrictive patterns for the really high BMIs, the BMIs of, you know, 40, 50, where we start to really see a lot of restriction because the weight is actually just so mm-hmm. much on the body that it's hard to take a big breath. But for this sort of pattern of asthma that's more neutrophil predominant, a little bit later in life that you get and more related to weight, is this affecting people with a BMI of like 30 or even like 27? Or do you have a sense of when weight-wise, or is that part of the criteria at all? Or
it's not part of the criteria. I'm not sure of a BMI number, but in general, there is reduced total lung capacity, reduced expiratory reserve volume, and functional residual capacity. And those are just fancy words of how to break down how we breathe, different lung volumes. So I don't know like where those occur, but it's not all restrictive in that sense. Like the lung volumes are actually decreased, which is kind of what I was saying with the rapid breathing that can lead to that.
And like you mentioned, there's other things going on here, like deposits of fat actually in the airway, and then some of this inflammation. And my guess is that it's probably like everything we see with weight, where everyone's body has a different threshold. You know, some people can have these really higher BMIs, have a very high weight on the scale, but they don't have diabetes. And then some people, you know, are 15 pounds above maybe their ideal body weight, and they get diabetes sort of genetically based on their predisposition to how weight affects them. So I guess that's probably the most likely explanation, is that it's going to vary from person to person, because again, people can be healthy at all different weights, and weight can start impacting health at all different places for people.
True. I think when you bring in like the diabetes and insulin resistance, I think that's when you're definitely seeing the more like problems and inflammatory problems, because down at the like mitochondrial level, they are creating more reactive oxygen species and inflammation. And that also contributes to worsening asthma. But without insulin resistance in asthma, I don't know if you're having as much inflammatory effect. So the same thing, like some people could have a higher BMI, but not actually have any insulin resistance, right? And some people have a low BMI and have insulin resistance. So it might, maybe it falls in that. I'm just making this up now, but yeah.
And I think the flip side to all of this is one of the problems we see in medicine is that sometimes weight is blamed too much for medical problems, right? And so if someone's having trouble breathing, it could just be blamed on their weight, when in reality, maybe they actually have asthma going on, and they may have asthma no matter what their weight is, right? Lots of thin people have asthma too, right? Lots of athletes, there's professional athletes that have asthma, right? So I think that that's always something too on the patient side that we have to advocate for and make sure that we're not adding to that bias, to make sure that if you feel dismissed about your breathing issues, get a second opinion or go see, you know, an asthma specialist, go see a pulmonologist, because there could be something going on. Just because you have extra weight doesn't mean that's what's causing your breathing problems too. So we talked a lot about how weight can affect asthma, but I also want to make sure we're really clear that lots of other things affect asthma too. And we don't want to blame it all on weight.
Absolutely. Yes. Get a full evaluation, get a breathing test, which would really tell us a lot, of course. Yeah. And even a repeat breathing test after, you know, a treatment or something like that as well will help.
So let's talk more about allergies. You and I are in different parts of the country. I'm in Denver. You're in Clearwater, Florida. I know in Denver, it seems like a large amount of my patients have at least some sort of seasonal allergy. Of course, there's food allergies and other environmental allergies, but definitely see lots of congestion and itchy eyes and sneezing and all of that at different seasons. Is that sort of what Florida's like as well?
So Florida is often more long-term. I think we have more year-round problems because of mold. But I think for the patients that are really just seasonal, you know, they're not probably doing allergy immunotherapy or shots or anything like that, because you can probably manage in one season. But the people who are suffering all year long are probably doing that. And that helps mitigate a lot of their symptoms, which is good. Otherwise, I think one of the issues that is, I guess, someone who's using an antihistamine every day, right? One, the antihistamine can be tiring you. Two, the allergies are pretty like tiring. Think about it. It's like having a cold all year round. I'm pathetic when I have a cold. I don't have allergies, but when I have a cold and that's how they feel all the time, like how tired are you, right?
Yeah.
So do you want to go out and exercise? Probably not. So it's hard, right?
Or if you're congested, you know, how many of us exercise or exercise intensely when we have a cold? Like you can't breathe through your nose, right? It's really hard to even go on a walk when you can't breathe, or when you haven't slept well all night because you were congested or coughing or not breathing well. So I totally agree. It's another chicken and egg thing for sure, but if you have allergies, like it's a lot harder to do exercise and then maybe even eat healthy and do some of those things too, right? Because you just don't feel good. You're tired.
With really bad chronic sinusitis, actually get taste bud changes. I mean, that could affect a whole lot of other things too.
Yeah.
And then if they're really bad, once again, bringing in the steroids to play, they may or may not need, you know, antibiotic and steroids. And usually people with allergies get more infections anyway. So they're going to get more colds. They're going to get more, you know, sinus infections and things like that, that need more further escalated treatment rather than just an over-the-counter antihistamine or intranasal steroid or something.
Yeah. And then you kind of touched on, but some of the medications we use for allergies also can cause weight gain, make it a little harder to lose weight. And those are our antihistamines, right? And those are things you're getting over the counter, like Benadryl, Claritin, Zyrtec. And it doesn't mean don't use those, But it's just giving yourself some grace. If you're like, man, why am I struggling with my weight? It's possible that those medications could be part of why you're struggling with your weight. Again, that doesn't mean stop your antihistamines. It's just giving yourself that grace that may be making it harder to lose weight. And that may be a reason to go see an allergist, to go see an expert and get better long-term treatment. If you're taking Benadryl or Zyrtec every single day, maybe there's like a more long-term solution, like you said, immunotherapy. So like allergy shots or other treatments that now you don't have to take Benadryl every single day.
Ideally, that's how it would be, right? We get like on the ideal candidate, you know, they do allergy shots for like 3 years and they're better and they don't need medicine anymore. But not everybody is that. We see like the worst of the worst. But I mean, it'd be great to get off of those medicines. So that's what the goal would be, of course. Yeah. I always wondered how they studied if it actually caused weight, because there's just so many multifactorial problems. Like, is the antihistamine at guilt? I don't know, but it definitely, you know, I learned it was relevant. So I do. It's hard. It's hard to really balance how to help the patients that are suffering with allergies.
And like you said, if you have chronic allergies or even big parts of the season and you can't breathe well, or you're not sleeping well, or you feel tired because of them, then you're going to want to treat that, because it's also hard to exercise and eat healthy food and take care of yourself when you don't feel well. Or if you're getting poor sleep, then that's going to affect cortisol and that whole axis there of stress hormones that affect weight. So I'm with you where we're definitely taught antihistamines are something that can make people gain weight, but it's not a reason that I stop them. When someone comes in to see me for weight, I'm not like, oh, you got to stop all your antihistamines. I think it's more dealing with the root cause. If your allergies are that bad, maybe we need to address them a different way, right? Maybe we need to see if there's something else. And I've never seen someone where they stop their antihistamine, all of a sudden they lose 10 or 20 pounds. Right. Like, you don't just lose it. So if your weight has been stable and you've been taking your antihistamine, like, it is what it is. Maybe it affected your weight, but you want to control those allergies or you're going to be miserable. So don't stress too much about those medications. Just realize it's possible they could be playing into to why you've struggled with your weight.
We would be amiss not to mention like the nasal steroids too, because they are not really getting a systemic dose. They shouldn't be causing insulin resistance or weight gain. And they are kind of first line for allergy treatment. So I don't stop them on a patient I'm trying to help with.
Right. So no reason to stop like your Flonase or whatever nasal steroid spray you're using. Those are steroids, but it's not like taking the prednisone we talked about before or getting a steroid shot. Which some people will get for allergies. You're not getting that high of a dose of steroids. It's mostly just hanging out in your nose. And so again, we want you to be able to breathe through your nose. That's very important. So those medications are probably not affecting your weight at all. And definitely, like you said, first line for allergies. We talk all year long in our clinic, definitely about using Flonase and about using sinus rinses. Those are like our first steps if you're congested. And you know, if those things are doing the trick, then maybe need to see an allergy expert.
Yeah.
That's any closing thoughts before we wrap up here? Anything you know, we missed covering? We covered so much. This was a really cool topic. Yeah.
So I guess my closing thoughts would be that weight loss definitely, I think, can improve asthma. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is, you know, eating like a balanced, like anti-inflammatory Mediterranean type style diet with high fruits and vegetables to counteract all the inflammation that's going on with asthma, and high in fiber. And that has like really been shown to help reduce the inflammation too.
Yeah.
So I think that is good. And if you lose weight, you know, you can come off less medicine sometimes. You can really improve your overall asthma. And usually they get better quality of life scores as well, less exacerbations. And it is really hard. And I wouldn't beat yourself up, because having the two problems at the same time is just really hard to manage and balance.
But also some weight loss may help asthma if you happen to have both of those things going on. At the same time, plenty of thin people have asthma. So we don't want to completely blame any breathing symptoms on weight, and always get that workup, right? If you're having trouble breathing, don't just be like, oh, it's asthma. You should see, at least start with your primary care physician. You may need breathing tests to figure out what's going on, because we don't want to assume that you're having trouble breathing because you're out of shape or deconditioned and just haven't worked out in a while. We don't want to assume it's all just asthma. There's actual like diagnoses that we make here, and they make a difference with which medication you get and how we treat this. So Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Reller. That was actually one of the most fun episodes for me because I feel like I learned so much there. And we will make sure all your contact information is in the show notes. If you're in Clearwater, Florida, you clearly want to go see her because she is an expert and a guru on weight and asthma and allergies. And until next week, take care.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, actually, I'm going to do one more thing. I sometimes give homework. I don't usually give homework when I have a guest, but it is almost fall. And so I think the obvious homework is you should get a flu shot, right? So we recommend it for everyone, but especially if you have asthma, make sure you get your flu shot, right?
You know, they're having an RSV vaccine for 60 and above as well, and a new COVID with the BXX variant as well this fall.
Get all your respiratory vaccines. So go see your primary care physician, especially if you have asthma, but honestly for everyone, because that is the best way to protect your lung health going into the fall. All right. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Francavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrankavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.